This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing and Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 8th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services. He's out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator there in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, Japan's Food Safety Commission has moved to resume beef imports this month, maybe as soon as this coming Monday. Iowa's Senator Grassley is investigating the 1031 tax legislation for potential abuse, and Kansas Senator Pat Roberts has criticized the counter-cyclical payment program. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at 295.5, down a penny and three quarters. The March contract at 312.25 finished one lower. From Kansas City, December wheat there at 357.5, off 4.5 cents today. Back at the Board of Trade in Chicago, December corn settled 188.25, up 1.25. The March futures at 201.75 were up 3/4, and the May contract at 210.75 finished a penny and a quarter higher. December contract for next year up 0.75 cents at $2.39. January soybeans 566.75. The settlement price up 7.75 today. The March futures up 8 at 575.5, and the May contract at 579.75, 8.5 higher. November beans for next year up 7 cents at $5.91 a bushel. December bean meal 179.30, up $5.70, and December bean oil at $20.97. They were down 3 for the day. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange nearby January contract 114.77.5. down 92.5 for the day, and December live cattle at 92.42.5 were off 32.5. Lean hogs settled the December contract up 20 cents at $62.87.5.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Hi, Dan. Good afternoon to you.
Just fine, Todd.
It looks like the beans staged a little rally today, and after last week's turn up in the weekly charts, does this give you hope?
I do. I kind of like the price action. We did have the weekly up last week. It kind of came at a time window for some of these cycles to kind of catch in here and turn up. We did have good follow-through on Monday, gave everybody a lot of enthusiasm, and of course the decline then on Tuesday, and then the follow-through on Wednesday really tore up that Monday follow-through strength. But the fact that we came back yesterday in the late session, closed up in the upper half of the trading session, and now that we followed through and closed higher, we do have the soybean market at least in position to close out the week higher now. That is somewhat at least chart supportive. Now, I do know fundamentally we've got some problems ahead of us if South America goes ahead and has a big crop in here, but we got a long ways to go before that crop's in the bin. But this morning's weekly export sales on beans were the best, I think, of the marketing year, well above expectations here at 35 million bushels. Soybean meal sales were awful strong yesterday or last week too. So that kind of went a ways in kind of muting some of the bearishness of the bird flu virus that we basically spent the month of November talking about slowing world demand, slowing demand for China and that. So I think maybe that is a sign that maybe the worst of the bird flu scare is behind us. I assume that will stay around for a while, but at least the market is not talking about it anymore.
Separating yourself from the technical side of the picture, fundamentally, what kind of range can you see for beans given supply and demand at this point, but not incorporating what the technicals might be? And I suppose I'm just saying, given the supply that we have out there and the usage, what might you see as decent price ranges for beans?
Well, so far, we're kind of in a $6.550 range, and basically what I'm basing that on is their early October, prior to the October crop report, we went down into this 550 range. Then we were able to rally up to the a little bit above $6. Spot contract went like 604 or whatever. Now, basically after the November crop report, we had a decline back down. Now, we did take out those early October lows by a few pennies. We took a lead option down underneath 550, but we reversed out of that last week, and we've kind of regained about half of what we lost. Monday, we were at 575 on the lead option chart, and you know, now we've come back here. So it does say that we are in a the way I would necessarily read it would be a $5.56 range, probably with the biases more on the lower half of that until something happens in South America. If things go well in South America, knowing the supplies that we do have here in the U.S., the gates are still open, I think, for a move on down to $5. But the good news is that we're hearing a lot of that $5 talk, and a lot of times when everybody's on that one side of the equation, it doesn't go down there. But the fact that we're so far holding above 550 does tell me that we at least want to make a stand here until more is known about the South American crop. I mean, the South American crop's got a couple vulnerabilities in it yet. You do have the La Nina weather pattern still dominantly in place in Argentina, and I know Argentina did pick up some rains, but there's a strong correlation with the La Nina pattern pulling down crop yields in Argentina during those years. So that's still in play yet to kind of shrink up that South America supply. And also you still have the rust situation, a problem in Brazil, and with the economics of Brazilian producers pretty tight on cash, that could come in later and knock down the yield. So all of this talk about a big South American crop could, again, fizzle again by the time February comes around. So I think the market may want to take a breather and kind of stay in this 550, $6 range until more is known, Todd.
Tell me just a bit about, and I want to work this through, the South American crop. If it fizzles, for instance, and then we turn our attention fairly quickly to what planting intentions are here in the U.S. By the end of March, what happens if we sort of avoid, we continue to look at the corn acreage but avoid factoring in what happens to bean acreage at that time and actually find that beans are up quite a bit? And have you heard that kind of thing at this point?
Well, that's the direction. Just as a year ago, the direction was the other way. The direction was to go toward more corn, less beans, and, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't that big a change. Mother Nature in the spring will have a lot to say about what happens. Now, I do think the lower half of Illinois or the lower half of the growing regions that put nitrogen on in the spring, that will have a lot to say whether or not those acres are go to corn or switched out to soybeans. I mean, the trend is in that direction, more beans, less corn. And I think, you know, talking around, off the cuff, you could probably build some cases for some extreme changes, up on the beans and down on the corn. But those are, I think they're within the parameters, but I think a lot of it's going to be what the price of nitrogen is going to be come April. Another thing will be, you know, what is the weather pattern? We've had a couple, nice dry early starts to the planting season, and you know, for someone that believes in averages, tells me that we're probably more vulnerable to planting delays and whatnot maybe next year, or at least a portion of the Corn Belt's going to be caught under that environment. Well, the thing with beans, I believe in, you got to be a contrarian in a sense, so probably big bean acres would maybe not be a wise choice this coming year, because I do think that the fact that rust is in the Houston area, brought in by Rita, I assume, that has more likelihood of surviving the winter, whereas the rust that was found in the Georgias and Alabamas and whatnot, you know, the way the dominant cold air pattern does go on down, and, you know, it got the oranges last year, I think, in Florida. So the fact that it's in the Houston area tells me that it may has a better chance of overwintering, and that is probably in a little better position to work its way up into the main growing area. So I think that still hangs out there. And, you know, to be real cynical about it, as soon as everybody kind of thinks that we got rust under wraps and we increase bean acres, and we may have a big outbreak next year. So it looks like 2006 is going to be as noisy as 2005 was. And I would probably just encourage our listeners to, you know, listen to the noise, but you need to maybe filter some of that noise too from time to time, and kind of stay back to the basics. But there is going to be a lot of noise. We're kind of ending this way. We're ending 2005 on a lot of noise. And I think that will probably follow through into 2006, Todd.
And when you say noise, are you talking noise for the upside or the downside?
Noise all over, conflicting signals, you know, higher energy prices, maybe declining dollar, declining interest rates. You got half the economy in recession. You got the other half the economy in an inflationary environment. So I do think that, and then with all of the volatility associated with weather patterns and world weather, what I'm saying is that I think it will be another active commodity market in 2006. Now, noise can be both, you know, bearish and bullish, but I do think it will be noisy, and it'll probably try to keep us off balance. The market does a pretty good job of keeping us off balance when it's not that noisy, and when it's all that more noisier, it will keep us off balance.
Let me ask you one final question, and you don't get much time to answer this, but I had the feeling last year that you were thinking the market was going to make some potentially pretty good highs that happened in late July. Was that high enough for you, or are you thinking there's still something left in here, and that's part of the noise that you're talking about?
Well, I always like higher prices, so I'm never going to be
satisfied.
No,
I want to know about your cyclical work, Dan.
those were good highs for the time being, and now we've, you know, the consequences of those higher prices, we've kind of lived through those over the last 3 months, but I think that is maybe coming to an end now as we enter the December-January time frame. I think once we get past this January crop report, the 2005 unexpectedly large crop comes to the final nail, goes in its coffin, and then we start looking at all the variables that could or may go wrong growing the 2006 crop. And I think the commodity markets are going to come to life. And, you know, I don't think the stock market is that good a deal. I think there's going to be a lot of money floating around hunting for good buys. And when you look at 20-year charts, the commodities are at the bottom end of those price ranges are ag commodities on the grain side, and I think there might be some round of speculative interest to try to make them run some point in time in 2006.
Dan, we sure appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Pretty obvious stuff here, but a snow advisory in effect for most of Illinois today and tonight. A snow advisory in effect for northern Indiana later tonight. And a winter weather advisory is in effect for southern Illinois into tonight as well. A heavy snow warning in effect for central and southwestern Indiana this afternoon and tonight. Dave Dickey here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, Japan's Food Safety Commission today approved a report on U.S. beef safety, paving the way for resumption of U.S. beef imports as early as late December. But U.S. beef trade officials are worried that Japan will utilize a snapback tariff when beef exports to that nation resume. Mike John, president-elect of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the tariff could be as much as 50% of the value of the product. Japanese newspapers are predicting that Japan's government will lift its ban on U.S. beef on Monday. Next Tuesday, a delegation of Japanese specialists is expected to arrive in the U.S. to verify that U.S. packing plants are following BSE safeguards. That process is expected to take several days. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he's looking into the 1031 tax code regulations with an eye toward whether they're artificially driving up farmland values.
I've had my staff is investigating what we can do to make sure that there's not abuse of 1031s. 1031s go back to, I believe, as far back as the 1920s tax legislation. It's something that has a philosophically sound basis and a practical basis, and something that we would not want to repeal.
Grassley says there have been abuses, including exchanging farmland for businesses and exchanging high-value farmland on the edge of cities for farmland deep in rural areas, inflating the price of rural farmland. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization says in a new report that developing countries would gain far more by cutting their import tariffs and reducing payments to their farmers than by demanding such cuts in developed countries. But the agency also said that concerns of poorer nations must be taken into account at the World Trade Organization Ministerial Conference next week in Hong Kong. Meanwhile, Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Republican from Kansas, says the one big weakness in the 2002 Farm Bill is the countercyclical program. Roberts, speaking at a Farm Journal forum, says the program works well when prices are low, but it does not provide money to farmers when weather is bad and they do not have crops to sell. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johann, speaking at the same forum, says a recent WTO ruling against certain parts of the U.S. cotton program is an indication that farm programs need to be changed, but he says he is months away from making any recommendations. But at least one policy analyst believes radical changes in the next farm bill are only likely if budget pressures get a lot worse or if the Doha round reaches a deal on agriculture. Jim Wiesmeyer of Informa.
It can only be greener if you have more money or shift from certain sectors, and that could happen. But I've already talked to enough of you that you've already told me your bankers don't have a line in your cash flow sheet for conservation payments. Now, you'll have only major changes if the Doha round concludes and is aggressive. Our budget cuts are severe, and those are big ifs.
USDA Secretary Mike Johann made some other news on Wednesday. He says USDA will work to provide more assistance to producers faced with high energy costs. As part of the strategy, Johann has formed the USDA Energy Council and ordered the Farm Service Agency to provide more loan assistance by directing federal funds toward guaranteed and direct loan payments for producers needing credit to cover energy costs.
Without question, high energy costs are impacting the business of agriculture. As I traveled the country this year hosting Farm Bill forums, farmers and ranchers voiced their concerns about energy costs to me very loud and clear. And so today I am announcing the release of a USDA energy strategy to address the difficulties high energy prices pose for producers who are trying to put food on our tables.
Some commodity groups have suggested Congress should pass an agriculture energy emergency bill to help offset sharply higher energy and fertilizer costs. But Johannes says he did not see much enthusiasm for the measure in Congress.
There has been some talk about whether there's the potential for an additional amount of money to be allocated to producers because of high energy costs.
Agriculture disaster aid may be coming soon, though, in an unlikely vehicle. Washington insiders say Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Thad Cochran may insert a $3.9 billion ag disaster provision into his defense spending bill, a measure that's considered must-pass legislation before Congress heads home for the holidays. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Commodity Week, and, of course, the program you're listening to right here on AM 580, the Closing Market Report.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
A quick update of the closings across the region as we take a look at a fairly heavy snow outside of the eastern Illinois area and across a good start portion of the region. Tolono schools have closed already for the day. St. Joseph has already closed. Ogden and Prairie View schools have closed. The Heritage District 8 is closed already. Villa Grove closed at 2 o'clock this afternoon. St. Thomas More here in Champaign County closed this afternoon already. Monticello schools have closed for the afternoon. Muhammad Seymour schools are remaining open, but all their extracurricular activities and practices and events for the district have been canceled for the afternoon. Urbana School District, by the way, canceling all its after-school activities except the after-school child care program this afternoon. That's a quick look at some of the closings in the area. Now let's take a quick look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois, on the line with us. Hi, Bill. Pretty snowy there this afternoon, too?
Yeah, we've gotten a pretty good snow. It's kind of the same as what it sounds like down there. A lot of closings in that.
Indeed. Tell me about the cash grain movement in your area. I know it's not happening this afternoon, but in the last week, how's it been?
Well, really, two things on the cash grain in the last week here, I think. One is the fact that the cold weather has caused the bases on the river to go down because the freight's going up. It's getting harder to get stuff down the river. And that's, you know, lowered the river bases, but could eventually help some of the interior train bases going to the Gulf. The other thing, I think, was, you know, on the little bounce that we had on Monday, how much cash grain moved, especially on the corn side. I think that surprised a few people for only a 3 or 4 cent higher market that we saw that much cash grain. And that tend to weaken bases a little bit on the corn side, but really not a lot of beans moved.
And then your cash bids there for the day are?
$1.79 on the corn and $5.50 on the soybean.
Anything else that we need to be in touch with before I let you go for the day?
Not that I'm aware of right now, Todd.
We appreciate it, Bill.
Okay, thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. Let me run through the closings once again for you on this afternoon. A snowy afternoon in East Central Illinois. And the closings look like this. Tolono has closed for the day for the school. St. Joseph is closed. Ogden and Prairie View grade schools are closed. Heritage District 8 is closed. Villa Grove has already gone home for the day, as well as St. Thomas More and the Monticello schools. The Muhammad Seymour schools are open yet this afternoon, but all the extracurricular activities and practices and events for the district have been canceled, and that is the case for the Urbana School District as well, except for one thing, the after-school activities there for the child care program still available in Urbana. We'll talk about the weather more with Peter Levitt in just a moment. Now, let's take a look at your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A political insider testified today that George Ryan's closest friend shared with him hundreds of thousands of dollars he earned by lobbying the former governor on behalf of state vendors. Former Illinois State Medical Society lobbyist Donald Udston says Larry Warner told him after Ryan became Secretary of State in 1991 that a lot of people were going to benefit from Ryan's election. Udston was a key government witness today as the Ryan and Warner racketeering and fraud trial wrapped up its 11th week. An award ceremony at the University of Illinois this afternoon honors some of the biggest success stories to come from the campus research park in its first 6 years. The first annual Innovation Celebration will feature seven awards for U of I faculty and others whose technological ideas have been an economic boon for the region. Associate Vice Chancellor John DeLeo says examples of innovators working out of the research park include the video game designer Volition and U of I engineering professor John Rogers, inventor of Electronic Ink for laptop computers. Members of the Indiana General Assembly say the upcoming session will be short but packed with work. Republican House Speaker Brian Bosma says lawmakers will be done by March 14th, and the agenda will be fast-paced. Democratic Senator Richard Young Jr. says he thinks Hoosier legislators will struggle to resolve many of the issues that come before them. McDonald's says that worldwide sales from its restaurants, open more than a year, rose 4% in November. The news comes amid flat results in Europe, boosted by strong breakfast sales and later hours in its U.S. outlets. Illinois University Retirement Agency has picked a new executive director who's already been in the job for a while. The State University Retirement System, or SERS, yesterday selected Dan Slack to head the agency. Slack has been the system's interim executive director since August. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. We're joined now by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete, if you could, update us on conditions here in the Midwest and what we can expect in the way of snowfall, please.
All right. Well, I think the number which should cover a large portion of the state from I-80 all the way down, maybe to well south of I-70, will be 3 to 5 inches in general. It's a fluffy, light moisture content kind of snow that's falling statewide right now, heaviest now in the eastern half of the state. And this will continue this afternoon, ending late this afternoon along the Missouri border and then clearing out from west to east during the evening hours. So by late this evening, early tonight, snow should be pretty much over and we'll see the wind shift around to northwest and then bring some colder air in. So 3 to 5 inches of fluffy snow, locally a few heavier amounts, and that'll be it. It's the first general snowstorm of the season for Illinois. This will be followed by colder weather tonight and tomorrow, and temperatures tonight, because of clearing skies and this new snow cover, will probably get down into the low single numbers in some spots. And then temperatures will start to rise as we move into the weekend, still staying below normal all the way into Monday and then maybe cooling off again next week. So below normal temperature-wise, but precipitation for the week, this is it. This is the major system for the week, and then it'll be gone.
Am I rightfully assuming that since the temperatures will be fairly cold tonight that there won't be a great deal of wind?
No, this will be advection temperatures early, then the winds will die off. So toward morning, the winds should be dying down. The colder temperatures is because it's colder air coming in behind the system in the mid-20s now and in Iowa.
I'm mostly wondering about blowing and
I don't think
snow.
Blowing will be a feature of this storm, no.
Okay, and that's what I was checking in on. Now let's move into the growing areas of the globe. Tell me about South America.
Well, in South America, we've had the pretty much beneficial rain for the Argentine wheat belt, an area that's been dry this past week, and that's going to help boost moisture for the not only the filling of the current crop being just getting harvested now, but summer crop planting down there will improve because of the lack of dryness. Brazil. Showers in northern growing areas, slowing planting a bit, but elsewhere, moisture is good. So South America looks as though it's getting in better shape where it's been dry in the Argentine and Brazil, southern Brazil, and continuing good in northern areas.
And a quick update of the Australian wheat crop.
Yeah, Australian, well, it's dry across Australia, not an unusual thing, but it's helping the harvest. So dry weather, good harvesting weather, seasonally warm for the maturation of the winter wheat and the barley crops there and harvesting. So it looks generally good. Can't find fault there.
All right. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Pete Levitt is agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
That's today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report with Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.